This year's Oscars were a massive win for foreign film. Today we're talking about Bong Joon-ho's Parasite and why it won Best Picture. This is Got Self-Indulgent Movie Podcast. Hello everyone, welcome to Scott's Self-Indulgent Movie Podcast. I am Scott, this is episode 33, and we're talking about Parasite. And now Parasite is the newly minted Best Picture winner from Bong Joon-ho, and it was a big night for the movie and for the director and writer Bong Joon-ho, who won 4 Oscars, won Best Original Screenplay, won Best Director, Best Foreign Film, and Best Picture, which is something of a coup. Getting Best Foreign Film and Best Picture is almost never happens. People thought there was a chance it would happen with Roma last year, and it didn't, but it's an oddity. Well, not an oddity, but it's not something that's very common. It's also a giant breakthrough for foreign film, and also specifically South Korean cinema, which has been great for a very long period of time, but has yet to get this kind of recognition. And even a director of the same stature as Bong Joon-ho, who has been widely acclaimed for nearly 2 decades, this is definitely a big deal. So what I wanted to do today was to talk about some things that I really liked about the movie, because I definitely think it deserved to win Best Picture. And there's plenty of reasons why I think it deserves to win Best Picture, which are probably too multitudinous. Everybody's going to their full video essay deep dive about the themes of the film, about the visual style of the film, and all of that kind of stuff. So what I wanted to do was to pick 3 reasons that I thought it was deserving of winning Best Picture and kind of explain it out from there. So that's the setup for today's episode. I hope you enjoy it.
Reason 1.
Okay, so reason number 1 is that I think Parasite gets better the more that you think about it. Now, this doesn't have to be a criteria for every Best Picture winner. Sometimes the pure emotional response or the sheer filmmaking, prowess is enough to get you there. But more and more, I think that a Best Picture winner is a film that should get more interesting upon further scrutiny. So the more you dig into it or think about it, or if you see it again, you should really start to put more pieces together, or you start to see just how much was actually there that you maybe didn't get the first time. And Parasite is definitely one of those movies. And there's other scripts that came out in 2019 that I think follow similar logic. Knives Out is a great example. Knives Out is a movie that does a great job of doing setup, what we call setup and payoff, where it'll plant an idea early in the script, and then it may or may not hint at it later, and then it pays it off. So there's a lot of different details in those are plot details that don't seem significant at the time, but they end up being more significant later, especially in Knives Out, where it's plot specific, so it's all specific to the mystery. In Parasite, those setups and payoffs are more in line with the thematic core of the film, and there's more and more the further down that you go. So my favorite example is this idea that it's kind of stated as, not as the thesis, but as the experience of the Kim family by the father when their home has been flooded and they're staying in a gymnasium. And there's this idea that for folks like the Kim family, people on the fringes who have to kind of scrap their way, you know, as the Kim family did, into this rich family's house, that they have to make very meticulous plans in order for it to succeed, and that's exactly what happened. Unfortunately, their plans aren't elaborate enough to handle any sort of bumps in the road, and they hit a giant bump in the road in the second act, and that's why everything kind of goes to hell about halfway through the movie, and then it just becomes a scramble, and it becomes the thematic point of the movie becomes much more pointed at that point. So by the end, after they've barely escaped without being discovered by the rich family as to just how much they've been freeloading, or not freeloading, but how much they've conned them, the family comes back, they find that their small, dingy apartment has been flooded, and they're ending up in this gymnasium, kind of, you know, they're essentially, in essence, they're kind of like climate refugees at this moment. And the father begins to give a speech to his son saying, you know, well, his son starts asking and prodding him, says, hey, you said you had a plan for how to deal with this situation. And the father gives a speech talking about, like, people always make plans, and plans are bullshit, and nothing's ever going to go the way that you think it's going to go. And, you know, it's like, do you think everybody here planned on being in a gymnasium tonight? That's just how things turned out. So that's a core idea that the Kim parents have accepted. It seems that they've accepted, like, hey, we're going to make plans as best we can. Shit's going to happen. We're going to do whatever we can to come out on top. No guarantees. And what's interesting is that the son hasn't adopted this mindset yet. And it's what makes the payoff at the end so devastating. So they have a hint at the very beginning. So when the son is first contacted to potentially be a replacement for this tutor by his friend, he goes about making he and his sister forge a university certificate indicating he's been accepted to a very prestigious university. And he hands it over to his father, and his father goes, oh, this is a great forgery, and then mentions that his daughter would have been great at, you know, graphic design at school if she had gone. And it's kind of it's a not-so-subtle nod, kind of saying, like, well, if you had an opportunity, you could have been great, but this is what we got to do it with now. And the son takes a moment before he leaves to stop and talk to his father, and he says, I want you to know, I'm this certificate is not a fake. This is a promise. This is a promise that I'm going to go through with this. And it's so sincere. It's kind of funny because it's like, hey, you're about to con your way into a job, like into a job. I don't know that you're going to be able to con your way into a university. Like, nothing about what he's saying makes sense. It's completely incongruous. It doesn't match up at all. Which then, in the finale, when the son is talking about his plan for how he's going to get money and get the house where his father is now imprisoned himself in, and that he's going to get the money so he can buy it, and then he looks to camera, we understand that he seems to be drifting towards his father's belief, because Bong Joon-ho has said, we know. And he might not know, but he kind of knows that this plan it's not going to work. It's because the level that he needs to get to is just too high. And it's one of those things that the more I thought about it, the more devastating it just becomes. It's like this kid doesn't realize what his life is or how the deck is stacked against him. You know, every other member of his family seems to realize it. You know, his sister seems to get it. She's just trying to, like, yep, I can live like a queen, but I'm going to do it in my terms. I'm going to, you know, she's kind of accepted it. Dad's accepted it. Mom's accepted it. And he hasn't yet. And that's one of those, that's just one of a multitude of moments that only get better the more that you think about the film. So that's the first thing that I really like about Parasite, is that the more you think about it, it actually gets better rather than worse.
Reason two.
So the second reason I think that Parasite was a deserving Best Picture winner is that it tells a simple story, but it tells it in a very entertaining way. Now, Bong Joon-ho as a director is somewhat famous or infamous for having a lot of disparate tones within his film, sometimes within the same scene. So there will be moments that are very tense one second, but then there's a joke seemingly out of nowhere, and then things get very dramatic again. And the thing about that style is that it constantly makes the audience feel different things, and that's one of the reasons that it works so well. So the first half of the film plays something like a heist movie and a comedy, which I think is perfectly exemplified by, there's about a 15-minute montage in the film where the family is trying to get the current housekeeper fired. And it's all of the setup and payoff and a lot of some really choice slow motion shots and the soundtrack is this, you know, kind of classical style, like a masterful plan coming together. And so just this giant mixture of tones. So it's a very simple plot, and it's not inherently entertaining. It's just kind of a grift. And like any sort of grift like this, it's how you shoot it, it's how you act it, and it's how you present it to the audience and how you chop it all together that makes it work as well as it does. So that's the other thing about Parasite. And I will say that this is also a movie where there are these little moments that emphasize or highlight the mystery or the angle of the scene. So I think one of the best examples is in the second act, when the housekeeper comes and she's insisting that, you know, I've cut the camera, just let me in, I just need to come get something that I left here, you know, I know that the family's out, can I please come in? And she just bolts in and then heads downstairs, hear some sort of banging around, and we're not sure what's going on. And then in one of my favorite shots, the Kim mother, she comes down, she walks down, and she looks up and she sees the housekeeper, who has pressed herself against the between the wall and what looks to be, I believe it's like a china, I forget exactly what you'd call it, but it's a hutch basically. And so she's using like her entire body, but she's pressed up. She's so high. It's such an acrobatic looking thing from such a, you know, seemingly older, you know, middle-aged woman. And it's such a silly visual that I'm like, what, okay? Like, it immediately invokes so many extra questions to what already was going to seem weird. And it just kind of blows you away in that regard. And so there's just so many scenes like that in the film where it these little flourishes that Bong Joon-ho is known for makes it more entertaining, because it takes scenes like trying to quietly avoid detection from certain people or trying to, you know, figure something out last second, and makes it just kind of more tense and engaging than it would be otherwise. And so that's, like I said, it takes all of the Bong Joon-ho's flourishes and kind of morphs them into the best version of what they could be in this sort of story. So it's a very simple story. It's not like, if you had to summarize the film in a couple sentences, you actually could, but it's much more entertaining than a lot of other movies with potentially more interesting subjects, just because of how it's told. So that's my second reason why I think it was a deserving Best Picture winner.
Reason 3.
All right, my third reason might sound obvious, but strangely enough, it's not always obvious. That the third reason I think Parasite's a deserving Best Picture winner is because it's about something. Because there's been, I wouldn't say a slew, but I think there's a lot of movies that are about something in a bad way. You know, so they either teach the wrong lessons. So I would say the best example I can think of is Green Book from 2019 Oscar Best Picture winner. So that's a very good example. Like, that was something that the message of that movie was so poorly received that it was one of the first Best Picture winners I've seen immediately get backlash. And that's a rarity. It's very rare. And then, you know, and so there's actually, you know, so there's thematic depth to the film that isn't problematic. And the other case that you can have happen is something like The Artist, where the point of the movie is more, it's a technical gimmick to some extent because it's a throwback to old Hollywood, but it's a story we've seen so many times before that it's not really saying anything new. It's about, you know, the end of silent film and the beginning of talkies and all of that. And that's something that even Singing in the Rain covered over 6 decades before The Artist even came out. So as far as I'm concerned, not really something that needed to be said. And in terms of films that handle what Parasite handles, and Parasite, as everybody and their mother has talked about, is about class and class struggle. And I think what this movie gets so well is how it doesn't really offer any answers, because it's a very grounded and understandable class struggle. So the Kim family is kind of living on the fringes. They've barely got gigs, they've barely got enough money for food, and barely enough money for where they live. You can tell that they're making it, but just barely. You know, if something big happened, like let's say a natural disaster happens later, they don't really have too many backup plans. So that's what incentivizes them to not to con their way into every job with this rich family. And said rich family, they're not necessarily terrible people. The kids are a bit spoiled, the wife's a bit dumb, the husband's a bit aloof, but nothing too overt. There's no direct hatred. There's a comment here or a thing there that indicates, you know, maybe these people aren't the best, but they're not the worst. And the Kim family, it's like you kind of like them just enough. You know, it's not great to con people, you know, con somebody else out of a job, but she also, the woman that they're talking to seems kind of irritating, and it's like, well, we might as well get the whole family on board, and you kind of appreciate their ingenuity into even getting there. So what becomes clear, though, as things move on, is that this method, this system, as it were, where the Kim family, even this small microcosm of a system where there are people who have such means that they can just hire and fire people at will whose livelihoods depend on it, it sometimes more than they know, not subtle, this movie is not subtle, is that it creates competition with not against the people with money, but the people without money. And so, intentional or not, that's what ends up happening, is that people start fighting amongst themselves in these lower levels. And then this rich family, this animosity that eventually boils over in the film's, the film's climax, seems to come out of nowhere, but it is not out of nowhere. It's kind of this lying ghost. It's kind of this ghost in wait that's been there the whole time. And that's what I think is so interesting about it, is that it's not saying, you know, it's not a judgment call onto the rich family. It's not a direct judgment of even the Kim family. It's kind of saying, hey, why did this end up this way? And I'll credit Mikey Newman. He's a film YouTuber who does a segment called Movies with Mikey. His channel's called Film Joy, who says that three essential questions to ask while watching Parasite in any situation are, who's in control, who thinks they're in control, and who's really in control. And when you start thinking about, like, you know, power structures and stuff like that within even just this one household, and then expand it out, it becomes bigger and clearer. So I think that's, like I said, that's one of the things that's so interesting about Parasite. And I also find it very interesting that if you look at perhaps most of the people who would, who are in attendance at the Oscars, a lot of them, I'm sure, fall into the kind of this rich family dynamic. So I think it'll be interesting to see if, you know, oh, they affect, you know, how gullible, so, you know, I think it'd be interesting if who the Oscar voters saw themselves in Parasite. I'd be very curious to hear any rationale from Academy voters as to why they voted for Parasite. Because somebody mentioned, like, Elon Musk really liked Parasite, but he didn't seem to get it, because he seemed to be like, oh yeah, this is, you know, doesn't seem to understand why all this animosity boils over to this rich family. So I think it's very telling. So that's the third and final reason why I think Parasite is so great. Thank you all for listening. As I said, if you haven't checked out Parasite already, I'm sorry that I've spoiled so much of it right here, but I'll try to change the description so it's pretty clear that this is a spoilerific podcast. But if you've already seen the film, I highly encourage you going back and watching it again, because as I mentioned, it is a film that gets better the more that you think about it and kind of dissect it. And, you know, why not give more love to perhaps the biggest South Korean film ever in the United States, at least at this point. It's still showing in theaters in some cases. It's out for rental, so definitely I would definitely check it out. And subtitles, as far as I'm concerned, are a very low bar with which that you have to get over to truly enjoy something, you know, as engaging as this film is. So highly recommend checking it out, and thank you for listening. This has been episode 33 of Scott's Self-Indulgent Movie Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And don't forget to join my Facebook group, which is Scott's Self-Indulgent Movie World, where you can get the latest reviews, movie discussions, and podcast episodes. Thanks so much, everybody. Catch you next time.